So according to the Buddha, when you lack the spiritual faculty, you become heedless. Then the opposite five, he called it a mental hindrance, which are mind states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. They are called the pancha nivaranas, the five mental hindrance, or what we call in Pali, pancha nivaranas, not nirvana, nivaranas. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So this five mind state, when they arise because you lack the spiritual faculty, will make you heedless, especially sensual desire and ill will. When you crave after sensual pleasure, when you push away sense experience that you don't like, that's why your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience are your reaction to mind, they call mind consciousness. At the moment of consciousness, whether seeing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, the sixth sense door. If you do not have wisdom, understanding, and equanimity, it will stir, your mind will stir and react. That's how you create sensual desire and ill will. And it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Because when you react in this way, you are lost in thought. You become emotional. You cling on to that sense experience. And your emotion starts to stir your mind and make you reactive. That's the reason why you are no longer in the meditative state. You cannot be peaceful. Then when you lack the spiritual faculty of virya, you become sleepy. You don't see the importance of this teaching, this training, this meditation. So when you don't have the understanding and you don't see the importance, when you go to a meditation class, you will feel sleepy. Or a Dhamma class, you will feel sleepy. So sloth and torpor is a dull mind state, make you sleepy, lethargic, lazy. Then when you have problems without the spiritual faculty, without faith, without Sata, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, you will have problems, especially when you don't keep your precept. You violate the moral rules, then you create a lot of what they call karmic repercussion or karmic negativity of mind state. Then you develop fear, worry, anxiety because you might have killed people or harmed people, cheat and deceive people, committed adultery, or you must have lied to people, did certain mischief. Then when you don't keep the fifth precept, you partake in intoxicant drugs or something, it will cause your consciousness to fall. Then it will lead to downfall because when you don't keep the fifth precept, you will violate all the first four precepts. That's how you suffer, you become afflicted. So all this will make you restless. When you don't keep your precept, without sila, your mind will not develop samadhi. Your mind will not be quiet and peaceful because you tend to have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lament. And your mind becomes restless. That's why it's a mental hindrance. It will hinder you from entering the meditative state to meditate. That's why precept is very important. Sila is the base for developing samadhi. That's the reason why the Buddha teaches sila, samadhi, and panya. Without sila, the real samadhi cannot kick in. Without sila, you entangle yourself with a lot of problems. Then your mind will develop the mental hindrance. And the last one is doubt. When you are not sure of the teaching, when you don't have the faith, the confidence, in the spiritual law that governs life and existence. It's like you don't understand life. Yeah. Like a scientist without scientific understanding, they cannot apply the scientific understanding to live life, to develop whatever that is useful for them, for humanity, for the environment, for life. So all this need understanding. So when the mental hindrance are there, it means your spiritual faculty is not there. And because people don't understand this, they straight away want to go into meditation. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance is there. So when you try to meditate, what happens? The mental hindrance come and disturb you, hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So it's like create hindrance, stop you from becoming peaceful, aware within. So that meditative state, you cannot develop it, then what must you do? A lot of people don't have this understanding. They are forced to go and do all the thought-based meditation. That's why they go after method and technique to fix the mind, to control the mind. So all this so-called method and technique and instruction to meditate is an object of meditation where you use it to anchor your mind, to make it quiet and peaceful. And the worst is they go and focus and concentrate and make it one-pointedness. Or they develop absorption meditation leading to samatha experiences, concentration. And that samatha one-pointedness concentration is not samadhi. That one is not a free mind, it's a conditioned state. So people don't have the understanding, so they thought that is meditation, but that is the easiest way to prevent the mind from moving. Focus. That's why the jhanic factors, the five jhanic factors to develop jhana, what are they? First one is apply thought. You apply your thought on the object of meditation. Then you sustain the thought there, the second jhanic factor. Yeah. Then when you apply your thought and sustain your thought until you don't have any thought coming in, you know, everything is killed at the one-pointedness, then you will experience calmness, piti, leading to sukhang. Then after that, ekagata is one-pointedness. And then the energy develop. Then you go into the various jhanic state. That's how they develop jhana. And the Buddha initially followed the other teacher, also developed them, but he reached the highest, the first jhana until the eighth jhana, and he knew it's not what he was searching for. He was still not enlightened despite achieving equal standard and understanding as what the two teachers who had taught him, Alara and Udaka. That's why he went his own way. When he invited him as equal to teach, he said no. I will go on with my search. That's why finally when he realized the enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree, he realized all this meditation that he has developed earlier on was not the real one, the correct one, because it doesn't give rise to knowledge and wisdom, the inside knowledge and wisdom and understanding to liberate the mind, to realize the unconditioned. That's the reason why the Buddha came to realize later on, if it's not because of the existence of the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world will be impossible. That's how all this thing comes about. Then when he realized that, he meditated differently. Then when he awakened after he connect to his nature and inherited his past perfection and cultivation, he became the fully enlightened one, Sammasambuddha. Then when he became the fully enlightened one, he taught the teaching, the Dhamma, so beautifully, so clearly. And his Dhamma is so beautiful. That's why his emphasis is sati. The thing that separates his teaching from others' religion is sati, mindfulness or awareness. Other teaching don't have. Only recently, some later modern teaching, they try to use present moment awareness or awareness in place of the word sati. Yeah. But not everybody understand what awareness is or sati is. But that one is not a mind. That one is a nature within, the awareness nature. That nature is all the time, eternally with us. But we need a vehicle and a tool to access that nature. That's why we need a karmically conditioned form of mind, vehicle and tool to come. Then with that, we can access that nature, that gateway. Yeah. So all this understanding is not in other religion. That's why our Buddha Dhamma, the Buddhist teaching, is very unique, very simple, yet very profound, and very penetrating.